The following material focuses on the staffing and personal dimensions of toll collection on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, as experienced by our interviewees between the 1980s and 2009. Staffing, industrial relations and traffic management issues, as well as collection and accounting for tolls, was the overarching responsibility of the toll master. The title of this position was changed to Manager, Sydney Harbour Bridge Toll, in 1987, as Ken Mackay notes.
That was a bit sexist, so I had it changed. I didn't think Tollmaster was appropriate. In fact, there was a sign on the office door where I worked which said Tollmaster, and one of my first initiatives was to rip it down.
Under the manager was a whole team of toll controllers, supervisors or group leaders, toll collectors, as well as administration workers, cash room staff and an office manager. Toll controllers were the toll manager's eyes and ears on the bridge, especially during the evening and night shifts when the manager was not on duty. The toll controllers were accommodated in control rooms in Milsons Point, the Southern Toll Plaza and on the northern approaches to the Sydney Harbour Tunnel. These suites were situated up high above the plazas to afford the controllers a good view of toll activity on the bridge.
And they also had the closed circuit cameras everywhere, but you could just look out and see what was taking place. There was a bank of monitors to use for the closed circuit cameras, so you could see what was going on. And the computer screens. There was a number of those used for different purposes. There was tape recording equipment for recording some events. If you saw something taking place and you thought it needed to be recorded, you would record it. But mainly it was used for what was known as sampling. This was something collectors were aware of and agreed to. And it meant that any time of the day, any time of their shift, the closed circuit camera could be zoomed in on their cabin and the computer software would be recording specifically their toll cabin registrations, everything that took place in their toll cabin. And that would be done for about 45 minutes at least. And it was recorded on the videotape and was looked at later by the controller, slowly, because the controller couldn't sit there looking at it all the time, to see if everything was being done properly.
Next in the chain of command were the supervisors or group leaders. Richard Power gives us an idea of what was involved in this role.
They were on the go all the time. There was always something happening at peak hours, you know, people running short of money. Something's happened to the collection registration equipment. Something's happened here, something happened there. They were on the go all the time. Every time the supervisor moved from one booth to another, they had to cross an open lane of traffic. So the danger was there all the time.
On the front line were the toll collectors, who worked from the cabins on the north and southern toll plazas and the approaches to the Sydney Harbour Tunnel. On employment, the collectors were issued with a uniform. The uniform went through several incarnations over the years. Janet Miller started in the mid-1990s as a toll collector and later became the first and only female toll controller. Here she describes her toll collecting uniform.
I had navy blue trousers and a short sleeve blue shirt, and it was a sort of royal blue vest and a royal blue jumper, and there was a hat if you wished to wear a hat, plus safety shoes, and you had to wear these safety straps. The safety straps were orange with the fluoro silver as well. That was changed to an orange vest which velcroed up at the front and eventually became a fluoro yellow pullover vest, because the safety straps were occupational health and safety hazard. The straps particularly could catch on door handles or whatever. And then the vest, which opened at the front, became deemed to be an occupational health and safety hazard. it was a dangerous environment on the road with the cars going back and forwards, and, you know, you could just be snagged by something. And with the open-fronted vest, a work cover person who might be driving past, if they saw that your vest was over, you could potentially be fined $50 for having your vest open and not closed.
The collector's work was organised on a rotating shift basis over three shifts per day. Scheduling the roster was a particularly challenging job, as Dennis Murphy, former toll office manager, recalls.
They were all 8-hour shifts, and then they had a 45-minute meal break. The shift started at 6:30 a.m, 2:30 p.m, and 10:30 p.m. The shifts, the way it worked was we'd done a fortnightly roster. The way the system worked was over 1 month, like two rosters. So they worked, the staff worked a 19-day month, and they'd have the 20th day off. So basically they were 38-hour a week. But the way the system worked was they had to do 7.6 hours a day plus a 0.4 of an hour, which gave them, well, was to go towards their day off. So they worked 19 days at 7.6 hours. That gave them the 144.4 hours. Then they worked the 0.4 times 19 days, which gave them their 7.6. That 7.6 is their day off. So when they were paid each fortnight as 76 hours for each fortnight. So it's a set 76 hours, so balanced out, because they're doing it 10 shifts on one fortnight, they do 9 shifts on the next fortnight, and on the fortnight they do the 9 shifts, they get 1 day off. And they still get their pay because they've already worked the time.
The peak period shift between 6:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. kept the toll collectors incredibly busy. By contrast, night shift was the quietest shift. However, it did present its own challenges, as Jude Singareya reflects. Jude started as a toll collector in 1987.
The night shift was a difficult shift. The 8 hours is just like a month, because you less work, less motorists, and you got to keep awake. When there is no traffic, we just walk around, up and down, and sometimes the supervisor comes, the controller comes, we all sit together and have a chat, so they all say, so you're awake. So most of the time we used to crack jokes and play the fool and keep awake. There was a collector. He fell asleep and he has been putting his hand out, and the motorists have been putting the money on his hand, and he had a bunch of coins, and one of the motorists came and he looked at him, he thought he's dead, so he rang the control and said, "Looks like your collector is dead." And he's out, and he has hand full of coins. So the controller came running down to see. Then he walked up and he said, I'm sorry, I fell asleep.
And here's Saeed Garhani, a toll controller who started in 1984, providing an insight into the busy routine of a toll collector.
We're on the bridge, you put your tray, you start collecting. Within 1 hour, you have 50 kilos, 20 kilos of the coins to carry. If they stay in the cabin for 2 hours, you can't carry it. So it was 1 hour, sometimes 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes, 30 minutes break. That break is not theirs, but they have to go and count the money. Before, we don't have the machine to count the money. They have to count it one by one with the fingers.